Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armaline.
We are starting a new series, and I am super excited about this series. I'm always excited, but I'm really, really excited about this. And I use words like it's going to be incredible and amazing. But I do believe if Rod actually used my words with experiment, and I'll use the word journey. I want to encourage you guys for the next 5 to 6 weeks to go on a journey. It is so easy. I don't know about you. It's so easy to sit and listen and have a context you think that somebody's saying, and you hear everything out of the context that you understand and miss the point that's trying to be made. And what I'm trying to do in this season, before we play the video, guys, I want you to throw that first slide up. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Forging mighty ones to walk in the way of Jesus. And that way of Jesus, walking in the way of Jesus, it was simple when I wrote it down and has become more profound the more I look at it. The more I read God's word, I sometimes realize that we're like, you know, are we really walking in the way of Jesus? And I'll give you this example. You know, we can do this as adults, but we probably do it more likely as young people, especially youth. When you were young, if you are not anymore, and I don't, whatever age that disqualifies us from being young, but we're young at heart, do you remember when you had a favorite sports figure, race car driver, skier? That was for me. I loved skiing, and I had some people that I watched and crazy things that they did. And what do we often do when we love these people? Well, if you are into that sport and you play that sport, we begin to model how they do it, right? Golf swing, you know, how does that person do the golf swing? What kind of clubs does he use? You know, next thing you know, we see the shirt that he's endorsing, and we're like, I gotta get that shirt, the hat. I remember I used to have a pink hat because it was the cool thing to do in the 80s. It might be coming back, I'm not even sure anymore, but that pink hat was a ski hat that I had from a famous skier that I loved, and I used to watch these guys, and I'd go on to the little teeny ski hills that we have around here trying to act like they did on the big giant ski hills, you know? I'd pretend that I was going off cliffs like they were, and it was like 2 feet, but man, it was so good. But we try to emulate who they are. And I think a lot of times in the Bible, we read about Jesus and we're looking for the big, and sometimes the big is actually hidden. And we got to look at the lifestyle of Jesus so we can get back to how he walked, right? Put that next slide up. So we want to walk in the way of Jesus. And I shared this quote and I wanted to put it back up. This to me tells it all. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. So how many would like to have to walk more like Jesus in the next year? Anybody? So I want to encourage you to take a journey with me. We created a video that we want to play to try to help us throughout the week visually. And I've personally watched this, even though I've helped create it. I've watched it several times to focus me. And I hope this helps focus you so we can make sure the volume's up and lights are down. And go ahead.
Do you ever feel like you're on a treadmill going nowhere quickly? Life is overwhelming, the same thing over and over again, expecting better and different results. You say things like, I thought life with Christ was supposed to be easier. Wasn't walking with Jesus supposed to free me from my heavy burdens? Isn't his burden light and his way easy? Is it possible as Christians that we're on the wrong path, the wrong rhythm? Is it possible that we've taken on more of the culture of the world than we even realize, moving further and further away from the way of Jesus? What if there's a different way, a different rhythm? From conception, God placed a rhythm into our life. It starts with a heartbeat. God's rhythm can be seen all around us, from seasons of the years to the sun, moon, and stars in the sky. It's a rhythm. Flowers grow and blossom and return to the earth. It's a rhythm. From the beating of the drums to the dance of a marriage, there are healthy rhythms to be found. And the way of Jesus has a rhythm as well. Rhythms that bring life and rest and peace and joy. Rhythms that are burden lifting and truly light for the soul. He has created an ancient rhythm of grace that restores and renews. You ready to take a journey? Let's rediscover the rhythms of grace.
So you ready to take a journey? Rhythms of grace. About 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know the exact date, many of you would remember, I went through a season where life caught up with me and some medication affected me and all these things happened that I was not expecting. You know, I'm a type A personality. I love to run. I love to run, you know, with vision. I get excited and come alive when I have conferences and more to do. And, you know, sometimes that's good, but the problem was that there's some things that were in my life that I didn't realize that caught up to me. You know, some deep levels of perfectionism and some pain and all this stuff collided, and I ended up taking 4 months off work. And it was in that season that I began to ask a question that I am now beginning to work out and begin to present to you. But I asked myself, is this really what life is like? Is this really, you know, all that there is? Is this really what walking with Jesus is like? And I didn't have all the answers, but I began a journey. I was joking with Pastor Rod because he knew me well enough. Like, I liked things, and I do still, but I like things to be done in such a way that it could be frustrating for other people to get it right. And I remember coming off of, because I was like totally worn out for the youth conference, so he was carrying that load. And I remember he came and asked me to come in, called me, said, can you come in and look at this? Because he was putting something together we had planned, but I wasn't there. And I remember the hesitation on him because we had some issues, I think, with paper and coloring was a little bit off. And I walked up and he knew normally I'd be like, oh, I don't like the difference in color. We got to take it all down. And because of the state I was in, I looked at it and went, that's great. Good job. Beautiful. And I walked away. And he was like, what? What? What is going on? Because he was expecting something that didn't happen. And I began, not even knowing it, to create a new rhythm in my life that would bring incredible freedom, not only to myself, but to others. And I hopefully carry that most of the time, but I'm still learning. So we have this title called Rhythms of Grace. It's an interesting wording, and it comes out of, if you want to put it up, the next slide, comes out of Matthew. It's Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and this is really going to be our main text. I shared it on our Vision Sunday, but I'll read it to you. Are you tired? Worn out? Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? You know how many prodigals are out there that are prodigals because they're burned out on religion? Not God. They're burned out on religion. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover life. The whole 5 to 6 weeks is right there. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Gosh, isn't that a beautiful, like that is such beautiful wording. The actual scripture is this. I'll read it for you. Just this, that's the message. This is where we at. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lonely in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that scripture. That's New King James. But man, with the message, this unforced rhythms of grace. Have you ever watched people dance and you can tell people that know how to dance and it's unforced rhythms of grace? And you watch other people that don't know how to dance and it's forced, unrhythmic, not grace? And the partner is getting stepped on and ow, the feet. You know, I got to take a dance class in university for a credit. Greatest class ever. I learned how to polka. I learned how to waltz. All these different things. It was a credit. Why wouldn't you take a credit like that, right? And plus, dancing's fun. And so I learned all these dances, but you quickly found out on the first class when you had partners, there are some people that struggle with rhythm. You know, it's like clapping in church. If you ever had that, you know, spy stuff? Don't point to anybody, but you're trying to clap, and that person's like, this is the clap. That's the rhythm. And they're like, you know, and, you know, tambourines, that's why we banned tambourines. How many remember tambourines? That was forced, not rhythm of grace. It wasn't even grace. And, you know, and then you add a big room in and we'd hear tambourine from the back and it would be on time. But by the time it got to the front with the sound, it was off time. It was a nightmare. So we want to look at what are these rhythms of grace? And is it possible that we are missing some as Christians living in the 21st century? Is it possible that some things that Jesus did that we just don't even maybe see in the Word of God, or we quickly pass over, or we maybe think, and this would be, so we're going to have different levels, but I'm going to speak to the millennials for a minute. There's a movement out there that, and there's actually a couple things happening, which is interesting, but there has been a movement that they want to figure out every hack for life so they could do life perfectly better. I'm in. But here's the problem. That sometimes in trying to make an effort to do so much more in life, we think that we could get to the target by doing more. You know, this thing called multitasking. Did you know that multitasking is actually a myth? Your body and your mind cannot do two things at once effectively. This is research that's coming out. Research used to be like, multitasking is the best thing you can do. Yes, Daniel, driving and texting, I saw that, is not the best thing you could do. It is multitasking, not wise. Right, Zach?
I actually saw her one time.
Oh. But wasn't she in a parking lot?
She was
in a parking lot. So, Zach, you threw my wife totally under the bus. I wasn't even picking on you, bro. I remember that story because she's like, Did you even stop her, or did you just saw her? You should have stopped her, man. You should have put your lights on and scared her. That would be not nice. That wouldn't be a rhythm of grace. Okay, back to my point. In an effort to try to do more, have we actually found ourselves in a worse place? And I think we know that deep in our core, but I am going to challenge you over the next 5 to 6 weeks. You may not always like it. I talked with it with the staff, and I was sharing where I want to go, and I could see pushback. You know, some of it was fine. Some of it like, yes, yes. Then I'd hit certain things, and they'd be like, whoa, you're kind of talking about some things that I really love. It's like the wallet, right? It's all good until you talk about somebody's money or you have to take up an offering. And so there will be things that will challenge you, but I want to encourage you to try. And take a journey with me and go, you know what? Let's just for 5 or 6 weeks, let's see where this may take us. I personally think it'll transform our lives as a church. I personally think if you're married, it'll transform your marriage. I really do believe, I would put money on it, if you try these techniques, they're not even like, wow, they're just ancient techniques that Jesus did that we read and don't even realize what he is doing. It's phenomenal. One of the gentlemen I'm reading right now, I'm doing a lot of study for this, and he basically said that the noise that we carry in our life makes it almost entirely impossible to hear the voice of God. We wonder sometimes, is God far away? Is God not speaking? His premise is, I think that the noise in our life is keeping us from hearing the voice of God. And we live in a world, and we don't even realize it until my brother comes down from Mattawa, because he lives in the bush, like where there's not a lot of noise at all. And he comes down and he says the noise level in our area and the noise that he hears is almost overwhelming for him, because he's used to quiet. He's used to hearing the birds in nature. And if we don't realize that we hear traffic, you know, we have something. My kids have grown up having something playing in their ear all the time or in front of their face. And I'm not going to be anti-electronics, just so you know. The problem is, though, that we have so much all the time that we don't know how to stop and sometimes be still. I find it interesting as we begin to look at these things. Did you know that I have yet to find anything about, you know, this pathway with Jesus that doesn't say the word walk in front of it? You know, we're a generation that runs after Jesus, but actually all the scriptures say walk with me. That's a telltale sign right there. I'm going to throw my wife under the bus too. It's just Chris today. But sometimes we'll go through the mall and I'll be like, honey, I can't keep up to you. She is a fast walker. Any fast walkers in here? And she doesn't do it because she wants to get to 100 stores. She does it just because she's a fast walker. But she walks like this. You coming? We got to go shopping. And I'm like, I'm over here. 10,000 steps later. What's my point, though? The whole rhythm of Jesus, this idea of rhythms, this smooth. And by the way, I want to make note that rhythms are a repetitive thing. You know, when you polka, one, two, three, one, two. It's a rhythm. And I think a lot of times in our Christian realm today, we want instant prayer, instant change. But I want to challenge us that a lot of the things, and by the way, there are some wise men and women that have walked for a long time, that some of this stuff would be like, of course. So I am going to be targeting some of the younger ones, but I want you, if you're older, to go to check it and go, okay, am I carrying these rhythms? Am I carrying these patterns that are supposed to make life easier? And if my life is hectic right now, maybe I need to look at the rhythms again. Maybe I need to reevaluate some things. We still good? Awesome. I want you guys to... We're just going to put the next slide up. Jeremiah 6:16. Look at this. This is heartbreaking when you read something like this. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old, this isn't Jeremiah. Ask for the old godly way. Isn't it interesting? This is Jeremiah, Old Testament, and they're already running into the very thing we're going to talk about. They were running into it. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. This is the heartbreaking. But you reply, or they replied, no, that's not the road we want. Isn't that heartbreaking? That there was a path being laid out to rest for your souls and peace for your lives and recovery for your soul. That's the line I love there. Recover your soul, recover your life. And they basically said, no, we don't want it. And I think we're trying so hard in this world right now to do things a different way. But I, after 47 years of my life, have realized that there is no better way. There is only the way. And it seems so contrary to a world that we live in. And some of the things we're going to talk about, I don't even know if I can do that. But I wanted to challenge you to try. Because I think every person in this room wants to hear God's voice, get closer to God. I think you want to have a great marriage if you're married. I think you want to have rest for your souls. Did you know you don't have to even, I'm sure you guys know this, but anxiety, depression, and suicide has skyrocketed. Not just because of COVID. COVID was like an accelerator. But this stuff was already there pre-COVID. The amount of stress that people are carrying right now is over the top. And I would love to say that non-Christians and Christians aren't stressful. It's the same across the board. And sometimes even as churches, we could actually make more stress in your life because of these things that we want you to always come to. And there are good things to come to. But, you know, we could do 7 days a week stressed out and anxious and depressed. And we don't want that. We want to find how can we create a rhythm and a way of life that brings life back to people. Amen. You guys with me on the journey? How many want to take a journey? Awesome. I want you to at least try, if you could. Maybe contemplate it. See what you think. All right. What I'd like to do is turn to John 15. Scripture that we know oh so well. John 15. I don't have it up there, so you actually have to turn. Some of the stuff you know that we're going to talk about, I've already alluded to, is this idea of time, time management, busyness, noise, so much happening all the time. It's interesting. I want to read this before we do John 15. In 1960, they called them futurists. These were the men and women that were studying the future. They were studying what will society look like in the future. They met together. They were psychologists, sociologists, all these different people that were studying the field. They met together. They even had sci-fi writers come in and political theorists. And they thought that by now, in 1960, they estimated and reported to the Senate committee in 1967, after doing all this research, they estimated that the problem by 1985 would not be stress and all these things. They said the problem would be that we wouldn't know what to do with so much leisure time, and it would cause chaos. They saw technology accelerate, and they thought, my goodness, by the time we get to 1985, we're going to have so much free time that it'll cause problems in our life. We won't know what to do with so much leisure. How many have experienced that? I don't remember the last time anybody said, man, I have too much time on my hands. I don't even know what to do. When's the last time you were bored? Do you remember that feeling of being bored? I know it's pretty rare, isn't it? Do you know why we're not bored anymore? We get into line. We get into a coffee line. And it's a long line. We used to sit there. Right? What do we do now? Got to check my email, my news. I got to get a latest app. You start to go through your list and you get to the front and you've done a whole lot of work. I'm not saying that's wrong or bad, but here's the problem. When's the last time we were bored and stopped and watched? Any people watchers here? I love just watching people. It's always interesting. It's hard not to sometimes snicker. But I'll tell you, you learn a lot about people. That's off topic. Here we go, John 15. I want to study this because this is where we're going to start, because this rhythm of grace, we're talking about these rhythms. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. We have read that scripture so many times. How many find that to be a favorite scripture? Anybody? That's one of my favorite scriptures. And I think, you know, in the air that we live in, abiding is a great word, but I'm not sure we really know how to do that. So a flower and a plant of mine began to teach me something. I want to show you a picture. I call this the flower and the trellis. I've had this flower, I think, for 2 years. You guys see that okay? I've had this flower, and for the longest time, I bought it and it flowered and then it stopped flowering and did nothing. I just had the plant sitting there and I was so confused for a whole year. No flowers for a whole year, nothing. This spring we went out flower shopping and I asked the lady that we were at, the flower shop we were at, and they had an expert or somebody that knew more than most people in the room. So she called her out and she was talking and she said, well, first of all, are you fertilizing it? I said, well, I'm doing Miracle-Gro, because Miracle-Gro is the thing you do. It's a miracle. Everything grows. And she said, oh, no, you can't use Miracle-Gro for this type of plant because it doesn't have the right, the three numbers, right? She said, it's got to have these three numbers in order for you to be able to have flowers. And I thought, that's fantastic. So I went and I got the right fertilizer and I started to fertilize it. Nothing really happened. I'd have these weird things, though, shoot out, and then they'd fall and they just go on the ground, and then nothing would happen. So one day I thought, that's pretty cool with these shoots. I wonder what would happen if I put it next. And all of a sudden, unbeknownst to me, I found that these things started to grow up. And so I thought, oh, cool, I'm going to stick one through the hole. That was really awesome. And then it started to grow, and I stuck it through the next hole back. What was interesting was that after I did it 2 times, I never had to do it again because it got a pattern. And the next thing I know, this thing is going in and out of the fence. And the crazy thing is, the one that I had to teach, I don't know how they do this. They talk to each other. I don't know if vines talk. But next thing I know, the next vine's doing it, and the next vine's doing it. And then one day I walk out, and I got so excited, I called Krista out because I said, we're having a baby. We had our first bud. I was so excited to see our first bud. Interesting enough, after my first bud, I just thought of this as I was saying it, after the first bud came out, we got infested with these bugs. Something was trying to keep the fruit from happening. These bugs were eating my buds. And so I found out how to kill them. I killed them. And now, as you can see, I have over 20 buds ready to blossom. I know you're jealous. You came to church to find out about my flowers. But it's an interesting, I want to use this as a launching pad. There's one of my flowers. They're so beautiful. I know I'm a geek when it comes to flowers. I couldn't even tell you the name of it. I just like it. What is it called? Sure. I couldn't tell you if you were wrong, so let's go with that. Here's what I want to talk about. For much of our life, and again, I want to acknowledge that there are older people in the room that some of these rhythms are very common to you, but I'm going to challenge you on a couple that may not be, or lost, ancient rhythms that have been lost. When we read about John, and we read about these vines, we read about these vines growing up, and if you could go, I think I got, I want to see the next picture. Go ahead if you can show the next picture. Jesus was very aware of things like this. He understood what a vineyard was. It's throughout the entire Bible. He understood the concept of a trellis and hanging things up. And Jesus was so good to go, you know what? I got to teach you something. I'm going to use an analogy. And so he began to talk about a vineyard. Now, if you don't go to a vineyard, we talked about a vineyard last year. But if you are not familiar with a vineyard, you could think, well, all this stuff just happens naturally. And Jesus is trying to say, no, it's not always just a natural thing. Sometimes you have to create a rhythm that will help carry you. And what I want to help you understand, rhythms of grace, when you think of rhythm, I want you to think of a trellis. I know that sounds weird. How does a rhythm and a trellis go together? But what I want you to understand about a fruit and a vineyard is that without a trellis, those vines that I had kept falling over and dropping and dying. It needed a structure to have in place that it could go through and become a pattern, and that structure began to support the plant. And not only did it support the plant, it was the very thing between the fertilizer and the structure that was needed to bear fruit. And I think a lot of times that we love Holy Spirit and we love to come for prayer and we love to worship, and I think those are all such important things. But I wonder if there are some other structures that we're missing, that we're frustrated in our life and in our marriage and in our work and in our minds and in our bodies, and we're wondering why Jesus isn't breaking through, and he says, I have it all there for you. Walk in the way. Walk in this path, and it will bring rest for your souls. Paul even goes as far as to say, strive to enter rest. Isn't that an interesting thing? Work hard to enter rest. That's almost like an oxymoron. How do you work hard to enter rest? But his point was, you got to work. It's not going to be easy to find this rhythm of grace, but work towards it, because when you do, your life will be transformed. How many want rhythms of grace? How many would like to go deeper into a rhythms of grace? If you could take away 50% of the anxiety in your life, would you go for it? 40%? I'm still in. 10%? I'm still in. We live in such a fast-paced, chaotic world that our minds are spinning and our ears are pierced with noise and we don't even know. Here's how you know. This is your homework. Not fully done, but here's your homework. I want to challenge you. For some of you, if you're older, you can do this an hour. No problem. If you're younger, 10 minutes. We have to have levels here. I would like you to find a place to stop for 10 minutes without any electronics, any books, and as little noise as possible, and rest for, not sleep, rest for 10 to 60 minutes without any distractions. For some people, 10 minutes without my phone? Like, I realized when I started to do this research, everywhere I go, when I sit down, I pull up my phone. It's almost like we become so attuned that we do this. You know, we sit down and it's like it comes out. Anybody else with me on that? Is it just me? And I'm not against phones. I'm not going to tell you that these phones are terrible, but they are managing us. We're not always managing them. Sometimes it's not a phone. Sometimes it's simply, like, you think about back in the day how hard it was to watch a movie. Now, a movie that you wanted to watch, you know. Do you remember that thing called the TV Guide? Remember how exciting it was at Christmas time if you were small? Like, you waited for the movies to come out that you liked because they only came out at that time of the year, right? And you're like, when is it going to come out? I got to clear my schedule because Frosty's on. I was a Christmas geek. I loved Christmas shows. You know, It's a Wonderful Life, and I had to make sure I was available. And then these things came out called VCRs. Actually, before that was beta. But VCRs, and my dad used to be able to take one from school. And I'll tell you, when he took the VCR home, and these things, like, it took two people almost to carry them in. Like, they were so big. I don't know if you guys remember, they had the carts that they had to cart them around in. Like, think about that. Carts for one movie, and we're like, how many on here at any minute? And so he would bring these big things home, and then he would get a video somehow. I don't know if it was from the school. We don't ask. It was legal. I'm just making fun. But I remember the first time he brought home Star Wars. My brother watched that movie so many times, he could quote it from beginning to end still to this day. You know, I joke around because every time I say Luke's name, I go, Luke, because it's from Star Wars. And I heard that line so many times. So it was a special thing. Nowadays, when I sit down, I can watch Netflix and I can pick any movie I want. Any season of the year, I can watch Christmas movies. Unfortunately. I can watch any movie, anytime, anywhere. I can read the news. I can read multiple newspapers from all over the world. I can find out what all of you are doing if you're on Facebook, right? Because a lot of people like to tell us what they're doing in that moment. And if it's not on Facebook, I can check Instagram. If it's not on Instagram, I can check Twitter. If it's not on Twitter, I can probably download TikTok and Snapchat and all the other new gadgets and apps that are coming out. Now, for some of you who are older, you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Betty's like, no clue. That's good. Now, get me. I'm not saying it's all wrong, but what I'm saying is all these things. Now, for some of you, you're like, I don't have that problem. You may have another problem. It may not be social media for you. It could be an addiction to, you name it. It could be an addiction to work. It could be an addiction to sports. Oh my gosh, sports. Do you remember when sports shut down last year? People didn't know what to do. You didn't know what to do. So, you know, they started to air old games just to keep people happy. Because I remember looking going, is that now? Like, there's people in the audience. What is going on? They were all old games. You could be addicted to sports. You could be addicted to so many different things. And then I am notorious. I'm going to speak for me. I'm notorious for going, man, I don't feel like I have any time. Oh, I have time. I just have a different rhythm that's not helping me with the goal that I have set. And so I'm asking the Lord in this season to go, Lord, if I want less anxiety, less stress, if I want more time with my family, if I want to see my kids more and laugh more, what are the rhythms that I need to produce that? If I want to hear your voice more, if I want to have more revelation, if I want to have more peace, because the Lord said, come to me, all who are weary. I'm weary. Anybody else want to admit this has been a weary season? And so as Christians, if we're weary, but the Lord says, hey, walk with me, you won't have to be weary. I'm asking myself, why am I weary then? Well, I'm missing a rhythm of grace. I'm missing something in my structure that is not allowing the vines of my life to grow up and to be able to bear fruit like I want to. And I want to bear fruit. I don't have to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit. And for me, that fruit is not only, I'm, you know, of course for God, but that fruit is closer relationship with my wife, closer relationship with my kids. That is closer relationship with my parents. That is more time to enjoy nature, the beauty of the world, to be able to have a day to just glory in the Lord and be excited about what he's doing. Don't you say, don't you do that all the time? I do, but doesn't it ever feel like it's like spurts because you're so busy? Oh, thank you, Lord. And then you move on. I think there's a rhythm we're missing that we can receive life on a regular basis. And I want to tell you something. Jesus did it. We just sometimes miss it. Because we think, didn't Jesus do everything and run around constantly? Oh, he was busy. but he captured a form of rest that most of us know nothing about. He would be sleeping in a storm. He wasn't worried. He was at rest. How did he get to that place? Well, I think for 30 years, he learned how to have rhythms in his life. Because did you know, I know I'm going a little long, did you know that Jesus was still human as well? Did you know that? That he had to find the rhythms just like the rest of us do? That he had to be actively going, what is it to walk with my Father? What does this look like? And he had to find rhythms. For 30 years, he found rhythms and did ministry for 3. But he had to find a rhythm. Amen. One more slide. There we go. That's what I want my life to look like, that. So blossoming with fruit. So blossoming. You know, the scripture about abiding says, if we don't abide, you know, it seems like they're going to come and chop us off because we're not abiding, we're being bad. And we've talked about this last year. That's not what he was saying. Like my plants, he was saying that if you don't abide with me, those things that are starting to grow out, they actually go on the ground and they die. They have to have a structure to be put together. And so they come and they tie them up. And if they're blossoming, they cut a little off because they want to blossom more. I'm hoping in the next 5 to 6 weeks, all of us will go, Lord, what do you want to cut off so I can blossom some more? What do you want to tie back up? Because I got this thing that I keep trying to do. Man, I keep trying to do quiet times and devotionals and spend time with you. But every time I do, my brain is going a mile a minute and I can't seem to focus. Well, what God wants to do is come along and take that root, that vein, that vine that is beginning to grow, and he wants to pull it up and put it into a structure to help you grow it. So at the end of it, you'll be like, oh my goodness, that is so good. It's going to take practice. It's going to take a rhythm. It's going to take learning to do things that maybe we haven't done and stopping things that we've done that have been like those little bugs that came to eat away at my fruit, and I have to say, no, I want to go on a new journey. You say, as a pastor, don't you have this down? I would love to tell you I do, but just like you, I'm human. And I get distracted by my phone. I get distracted by good books. I get distracted by passions that are good things, but not always the best thing. I sometimes fail to set boundaries in place that would help make this happen, that structure, that trellis. I fail to do that sometimes. And the very thing that I want to have, I actually failed to produce because I didn't have the structure in place. I'll end with this. It seems like we've had time for a long time, these things called clocks. Interesting enough, right now I can look at this and go, it's 11:44. It's 11:44. It's 11:44. I could probably ask all of you, and you probably have something that will tell you the time. But did you know for so long that they never even had to worry about time? They had a different rhythm. And catch this. You talk about one example of how life has changed. Back before they had clocks and back before Edison made the light bulb, did you know that the average person slept 11 hours a day? Got your attention now, didn't I? Ooh, I like that rhythm. You know why? Because when the sun went down, they went to bed. And when the sun came up, they got up. And sometimes that's 11 hours. Gosh, how would you feel with 11 hours of sleep? What is that even? So we're going to discover things that have come into our lives that we try to just like power through. But maybe God doesn't want us to power through anymore. Maybe he wants us to find a new rhythm. Because I believe every person in here wants to grow in the Lord. I'd believe it. You wouldn't come to church if you didn't want to grow in the Lord. And I believe there are going to be things that we discover that you're like, that makes it a lot easier. Amen? Why don't you stand? I hope I created some interest. Yes, actually, you know what? I did want to take communion, so let's grab our communion. I'm going to say this because I wanted to add this in, and it's really interesting. We're going to take communion because we're going to pray into this. I mentioned this. You can go ahead and get it ready. See, these are some of the things that we're struggling with as a society. Frantic and hurried lives, anxiety, depression, lawlessness, anger, rage, all these things. Listen to this, and then we're going to take communion. And I believe there's at least one or two people in here that I know of that are struggling with this. Do you know what a heart arrhythmia is? A heart arrhythmia is when your heart beats, either throws in extra beats or is too slow or too fast, but it's basically, it's running at times off beat. It's not in rhythm. So I just said, as a society, these are the things that we're battling: anxiety, depression, all these things. Listen to this: heart arrhythmia. These are the symptoms: anxiety, fatigue, lightheadedness, dizziness, sweating, fainting. I think it's very interesting that heart arrhythmia, which is your heart not being in rhythm, creates all these patterns that we as a society are actually walking in: fainting, overwhelmed, anxiety, depression. So I think it's possible that we can get into a better rhythm to make our hearts more whole. And if you are in here today as we take communion, when I read that, I thought, oh, that's a really great example. I thought, I want to see people healed of that. Because the fatigue that comes with it is debilitating sometimes. It can be very hard. So is there anybody in here that you need healing for your heart in the area of like a heart arrhythmia? If that's you, something like it, raise your hand. Just so we know. We got two. Anybody else? Three. How many would like to see people healed today? So we're going to take communion, and then we're going to pray specifically for that.
Lord, we thank you this morning for the privilege, Lord, of being able to reach in to what Jesus did on the cross. Lord, you paid the price in full for every healing that we need. You took it all. You cried, "It's finished." Lord, you took care of the heart conditions. You took care of, Father, every ache, every pain, everything that is not functioning right. So Jesus, this morning, not only do we take communion, we remember and we reach in and we receive what you have done for the area we need healing. Thank you, Lord. It's ours. Those are the riches in heaven that are ours. And we receive it by faith. We receive now what we need through your broken body. In Jesus' name, let's partake.
So, Father God, we thank you for the blood. And right now, we stand in agreement with those that are battling any type of heart arrhythmia, where their hearts are beating off rhythm. And so right now, we just stretch our hands towards Fern, Pastor Gary, Mary, anybody else. And Father God, right now, as we take the blood of Jesus, it's not just a symbol. We're asking you, Father God, for that blood of Jesus to go in and begin to straighten out every heart issue. Father God, that things would be in rhythm again in Jesus' name, that hearts would be strengthened, even Ken's heart, hearts to be strengthened, Father God, hearts to be strengthened, hearts to be strengthened, hearts to be strengthened in Jesus' name. Every rhythm to go into proper order in Jesus' name. We speak life over Fern's heart. Lord, he has lots to do still, lots that he wants to do. Strength in Jesus' name. We want to see some incredible woodworking. We thank you, Lord. So as we take the blood, Father God, would you take your blood and pour it throughout our bodies, and everything that needs to be healed, healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the chance to be together. We thank you that we can come together. We thank you. We thank you that we can worship together, read the word together, study together. Lord, I pray this week would begin to be one of the more fruitful weeks that we've had in a long time. Lord, I pray that from the youngest to the oldest, that they, as they begin to try to separate noise from their life, I pray that you'd strengthen them. As they practice that walk, if it's 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, that we would begin to just thrive in the stillness of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.